Heads up, no prophet without manifestation. We're going to continue next week. We've just begun. And the Lord was speaking that the gifts of the Spirit will start being manifested. And even as we're preaching and teaching, they'll start manifesting and showing up. So we're going to continue that. But today we're going to honor fathers. Hallelujah. We're going to honor men. And all the men said, that one sounded weak. And all the men said, amen. Amen. You know, Jesus used some allegories where he used something that symbolically represented something else. And in Luke chapter 15, he begins with the story about a man that has 100 sheep and one of them go astray. He says, do you not leave the 99 and go after the one? When you found the one, you come back rejoicing because your sheep was lost and now it's found. Then he goes on and tells a story about a woman that had 10 pieces of silver, but she lost one. And she was looking for it. And she found it and called her neighbors and said, I lost my silver, now I found it. Will you celebrate with me? And then he talks about two sons. In other words, there was a context in this in which this was written, and many times we talk about a prodigal son. The Bible never mentions prodigal, by the way. That's prodigal means extravagantly wasteful. But the Bible speaks of a man that has two sons, and that's where I want to speak to you today. So look with me in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to begin to read with verse number 11. And then we'll see where the Lord wants to take you and I today through the preaching and teaching of his word. Amen. If you're in Luke 15, verse 11, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and it began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I would like to focus your attention this morning to verse number 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. But the key is they began to be merry. What I want to speak to you this morning about is the attributes of a father. Jesus makes reference to an earthly father and a heavenly father in this context. We find there's three things about this father that the Lord wants you to hear today. First, this father was approachable. He was approachable. Secondly, this father was associated. He was associated. And third, this father was affectionate. He was a loving father. So let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of this word, and we'll see how what God wants to do to honor the men and women and children in the house today. Can we make a declaration in the house today? Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have what God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, your servant. I'm listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for your plan, for my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here today to accomplish something in every heart and every life of every man, every woman, every child in the room. So, Father, we just begin, just say, Lord, just have your way. Lord, speak to me, this your vessel today, Father God. May the words that come forth, may they come forth with clarity. May they be understood. May we be built up, encouraged, and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. So look with me in our text this morning to Luke chapter 15, verse number 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. First, recognize that he divided unto them. Both sons got their share, okay? But what I want to speak to you about this morning about first is this father was approachable by his son. His son wasn't afraid to come and speak to his father. Amen. This father was a loving, caring father. And as men of God, our children should not be afraid to come and to approach us, to share what's going on in their lives. We're to keep an open door. See, this father's door was open. Somebody said, well, this man wasn't a wise man. How would that father go ahead and give his son the living, with all of his share of living, when he knew he was going to waste it? Because the son had to learn on his own. The father could not make decisions for his son. All the father could do is show his son the right way, and afterwards, it is one between the son and the father in heaven, no longer the father and the son. The Bible says, train them up as a child, that will not depart from them. Amen? So in other words, this father was open. Amen? And I want you to understand something. As men and women and fathers and future fathers in the house today, we serve a father in heaven that is approachable. That is approachable. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he is approachable. His door is always open. The veil has been torn from top to bottom, and we all have the privilege and the honor to go to the very presence of God, to go into the very holiness of God. And it's not about how good I am. It's not about how good you are. It's about how good he is. Amen. Amen. He's got an open door policy. Matter of fact, Jeremiah 33:3 says, when you call on me, I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't know. The Father has an open door policy. Look to some man and say, hey, God's got an open door. God's got an open door. God's got an open door. Now ask yourself, is my door open? Amen? Is my door open? Amen? You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 11, he said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Amen? Amen? Well, you know what? Sometimes we have not because we ask not.
That's for sure. Amen.
My word says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open for everyone that asketh. Receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. Everyone that knocks, the door will be open. Amen. God has an open door policy. Amen. It's not about, again, it's not about me, it's about him. Amen. God wants you and I to have the same open door policy with our children. Amen. In other words, we don't have to agree with everything our sons and our daughters do, but we can disagree in love. We don't shut the door. We want to keep the door cracked open. Amen? Amen. So many people say, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to shut the door and I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Let me say something. You're the one that will lose. You're the one that will lose. God kept an open door policy for you and I, and we're to have that same open door policy for our children. Amen? Amen. Not only that, God says, hey, look with me in Romans chapter 8. Maybe you're here today and your father wasn't in your life. And maybe your father hasn't been in your life. Maybe you're like me and your father has already preceded you in death. My father's already in heaven. And as my daddy is already preceded me in heaven, all I can do is honor him. You know how I'm honoring my father today? I'm standing here preaching to you today. My daddy was a preacher. I'm honoring my father. When I honor my earthly father, I honor my heavenly father. When I dishonor my earthly father, I dishonor my heavenly father. I'm here today as a heritage of what God has done. It started with my granddaddy that pioneered 12 Assembly of God churches that are still functioning and still operating today. He had a legacy that he left behind. My father walked in that, and I'm walking in it, and my son's going to walk in it too. And the generation will go on, and my grandchildren will walk in it also. Amen. I want you to understand something with me. I want you to understand something as a man. If there's a mom in church without a man, there's a 34% chance that the children will stay and serve the Lord. But if the father and mother are both in the house of God, it goes up to 76% that their children will serve and honor the Lord. Amen. It makes a difference when you're beside your wife and there with your children in the house of God. Amen. Why do you think the enemy wants to keep you out of the house? And he puts all these things in front of you. How many know there's plenty of things you could have been doing today? But guess what? You chose the right thing. Amen. And guess what? God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. He's already blessed you. I don't know if you had to be dead if you didn't sense the presence of God when we were worshiping the Lord today. God was ministering to your heart and your life. He was preparing you for something. And you know what? He said he knows the plans that he has for you and me. They're for good and not for evil, that we have a hope and we have an expected end. Hallelujah. We're not just doing this for the sake of doing it. We're doing it with purpose. Hallelujah. God's purpose something in your life. Amen. So many times when everything goes wrong, it's just so you will look at the right direction. Amen. You know what the definition of insane is? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. That's insanity. Amen? God says, hey, all we got to do is change our mind. Amen? Change our directions. Hallelujah. Amen? But he says in Romans chapter 8, listen to me. If you're here today and your father's preceded you in death, or maybe there wasn't a father figure in your life, he says this. For you have not received, in verse 15, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we be, excuse me, if so be that we suffer with him, that we shall also, that we may be also glorified together. Man, they put all them little adjectives in there and stuff, man. It kind of confuses me a little bit. I just want to talk like this. Amen. Amen. What is he saying? He said, you have a Father that's in heaven. You have a Father that's inside of you that you can call on. Not only a Father, but you're an heir, that you're a son of God, that you're a joint heir with Christ. Amen. You know, it's just like these two sons. The younger one, all right, that was caught up for pleasure. He wasn't any worse than the other son. See, he was seeking pleasures. The other one was full of pride. You hear me? Pride cometh before destruction, the haughty spirit before the fall. Amen? But this son, this younger son, he was bold enough to go to daddy and say, hey, I want some of my heritage. God says you can boldly come to the throne room of grace as a child of God. Amen? I'm an heir of God. If all things belong to him and I'm his heir, that means... Don't you think it's time we start taking some possession of things that belong to us? Amen? Amen? Don't you think that the adversary has stolen from you long enough? Hello? Don't you recognize and realize that he's already been defeated?
Amen. Amen.
Don't you realize and know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world? Don't you know that you can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, and your testimony is true? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God and he changes not. Amen. He is still my Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, the bank isn't my provider. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. God allows the bank to be used to provide, but that isn't my provider. Amen. See, this Father, just like our Heavenly Father, this model Father, one of his attributes was he was approachable. He was approachable. Secondly, in verse number 8:17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Here's what the Lord was saying. This father was associated. What I mean is this. When the son looked at his father, they associated his father with heaven and heaven with his father. When the son looked at his father, he associated his father with heaven and heaven with his father. In other words, when your children look at you, do they associate you as a man of God? That we're men and women of God. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. We're walking in newness of life. Amen. You know, I'm honored to have my daughter here today. And there's so many things before Christ that, and even after Christ, that I can't do anything to change. Some of the things were, I wasn't a great father. I was a loving father, but I wasn't always a great father. There is nothing I can do about history but learn from it. But what I can do is make the difference now. Amen. All I have control of is now. Don't get held up in the condemnation of the past. Don't get caught up in the condemnation of the history, because there's therefore no condemnation to those that walk in Christ Jesus, that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. In other words, I can't do anything about the past, but I can do everything about today. I can choose today to be a better father. I could choose today to be a better husband. I could choose today to be a better son. I could choose today to be a better daughter. I could choose today to be a better mother. I could choose today to be a better wife. There's nothing I can do about the past, but I can do everything about today. Amen? Are you with me? Amen? I might get excited. Turn with me in Matthew 15. Now, anyone that is on Facebook, this is what I posted this morning with Greatest Freedom Ministries. I posted Matthew 15, 4. We'll begin in verse 3. Jesus asked him a question. He says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Another, honor your parents. Honor your father. Reverence him. Honor him. Show him respect. He said, you make your traditions. They were putting everything in front of their parents. This isn't just while you're living in your house. We're to take care of our aged parents. How many of you know that's biblical? The Bible says, honor your mother and father so your days will be long on this earth. There's many people that are dying young because they don't honor their mother and father. And when they don't honor their mother and father, they get into riotous living. And all of a sudden, they get killed or murdered or die because they haven't kept the commandment with promise. This is the first commandment with promise. In other words, there's a blessing that follows it. Amen? You know, I know as a rebel. Amen? And you know, I didn't honor my father and mother. I was disrespectful. Amen? And how many know that God is not mocked? For whatsoever a man soweth, he reaps. And I was reaping some of that until I got revelation that the curse of sin has been broken. And I started killing the seed, killing the old harvest. You know, have you ever noticed in a farmer, when he plows a field, let's say if he's going to change crop, and it's a cornfield, he's going to plant barley. After he changes the seed to barley, you'll see corn coming up here and there. And it'll come up for a few years until the new seed overcomes the old seed. And as we start sowing good, our new seed will overcome the bad seed. Amen? Amen? And cursing your parents is disrespecting them. Talking bad about them. Man, hey, we shouldn't say anything bad about our parents. No matter where you go, you didn't have to raise you. Hello? I know when my mom got to heaven, she came into the pearly gates, God just threw all kinds of rewards at her feet for just raising me. Hallelujah. Woman, you deserve everything. You deserve the whole kingdom for putting up with that. Amen. Is that just me or is there someone else? Did mom and daddy put up with you? Amen. Hello? Look with me in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30, verse number 11. The Word of God says this. There's a generation that curseth their father and doeth not bless their mother. Amen. Amen. Hey, be a blessing to your mom and dad. Remember this. I want you to get a hold of this. When you honor your earthly father and mother, you honor your heavenly father. If you honor your heavenly father, you'll honor your earthly mother and father. Amen. Amen. Does that mean that he always does? Let me say something to everyone else. How many know that in the Word, that the man's the head of the house? Are you with me? Okay, we're at the head of the house. That means that sometimes we have to make decisions that the family doesn't always like. All right? We don't lord over our family. We don't lord over the wife. The Bible says, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. We love one another. We honor one another. Amen? But sometimes you have to make decisions. I felt sorry for my dad. I didn't get this till Revelation until later in life. My dad worked two jobs. He's a full-time pastor and a full-time painter. Raised 9 children. Mama's famous statement was, wait till your father gets home. Wait till your daddy gets home. Daddy would come home and he'd have to give us a spanking. So what did we get to know our dad about? He was whipping. Mama got to love us all the time, and daddy got to spank us. Hey, share it. Let me say something to you. Let me show you something. It's called a rod of correction, not a rod of punishment. God didn't call us to punish our children. He called us to correct them. And if we're not correcting them and we're punishing them, we're building a wedge between us and them. It should hurt you more than it hurts the children. You know, never spank your child out of anger. Sometimes that's difficult because we react. Yep. Hello? I remember wanting my last whipping. Did anybody remember your last whipping? I remember my last whipping. Here's my last whipping. I knew I was getting it. I knew I was getting it. I padded the back of my pants with all these magazines. They didn't have paperback books there. There was magazines, Life magazines, and there's magazines. I had that thing padded. I was ready. My daddy spanked me everywhere but where there was a magazine. Amen. I don't think he hit one of those magazines one time. Amen. And I'll never forget it. I grabbed a hold of the belt. Wrong. And my daddy sinned. Because it was automatic. The other hand came. And my daddy, God spoke to my dad because anger got in control when I grabbed a hold of the belt. And he reacted in the flesh. And he would never whip me again. He would never do it again because it went too far. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying that. But sometimes maybe there's someone in here that got whipped too much. Or God hurt you. Or your daddy hurt you. Or your dad said things to you that broke your heart. And words and things that were said that he belittled you and tore you down. God wants to build you up. God says that you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. God's got good things for you. Amen. And I want you to understand, your battle, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. How many know that daddies and mommies have bad days too? Amen. Amen. So that's why we should always correct our children later instead of immediately. In other words, go think about what you did, and I'm going to come and talk to you about it. In other words, I'm going to chill out and let you reflect, and then I'll reflect, and then it'll reflect. This is just a reflection. Now, I don't know if I did wrong or right, but listen to me. I don't know if I did wrong or right because I was always into something. I was ADD. I was all over the place. They didn't even know it back then, but yeah, I was all over the place. I'm still all over the place. I can't stand behind the pulpit and preach. If you notice, I can't stand still and still everywhere. Amen? But in the correction that I received, in the spanking I received, I never once spanked my daughter or my son. Never in their lives. Neither of them received. They got corrected. I probably corrected them the wrong way because I got a big mouth. I probably yelled at you, didn't I? She'll tell you everything. Hey, and I'm not proud of that. You know, there's a lie. Here's one of the big lies of the adversary. If you talk louder, they'll hear you better. Let me say something to you, parents. When you speak louder, they don't hear you at all. There's a mechanism in them that shuts off and they shut down. They're not even hearing you. They're not even hearing you. Amen? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look what the Apostle Paul says about this. You've got a deal here. Everybody, this is everybody in the house. First, children, who's a child in here? Who has a parent? Okay. There are some are children. Listen, he says this. I lost my place. He says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Now here's a lot of Christian children say, well, I didn't have to listen to mom and dad because they weren't a Christian and they weren't in the Lord. Now, that's not what the apostle was saying. The apostle Paul was saying this to him. Children, whether your daddy and mommy is serving the Lord or not, obey them unless they command you to go outside of God's commandments. Amen? So, children, obey them, for that is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. Then he tells fathers, provoke not your children to wrath or anger, and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's our charge. Amen? In other words, we find in our text that, hey, this father was approachable. This father was associated. When his son looked at his father, he had reference to his father in heaven and heaven in his father. But also, I find that this father was affectionate. Amen? Affectionate. Look with me in Luke chapter 15, verse number 20. And the Bible says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. Amen. His father was affectionate. He was a loving father. Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being manly, and there's nothing wrong with being affectionate. God and Jesus was a man, but he was affectionate. He was loving. Amen? As men, we're to be loving to our families, to our wives, to our children. We're to have affection and love, having compassion for one another. Compassion is defined as sympathetic concern for the suffering of another with inclination to give help or support. Amen? That this father was very compassionate. Amen? And in other words, this father knew his son. Everything the son was going to do. That father knew his son. The father knows you. He knew where you would go. He knew everything you would do, but he also knew that you would return. The Bible says, train them up as a child, and it will not depart from them. They may leave for a season, but they will come back. The Bible says our children are promised to us to the second and third and fourth generation. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm taking claim to my grandchildren. They belong to God. I'm prophesying over them. Amen? Amen? I'm praying that God delivers them. Inside joke. Amen? Are you with me today? Turn with me to Psalms 103. Verse 13. The Word of God says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, or reverence him, or honor him. That word pitieth comes from the Hebrew word raham. Raham means to have compassion. To have compassion. We're to have compassion for our children. You know, the writer of James says in James 4:8, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, this son had to come to himself. He had to come to revelation that was better off in the house than outside of the house. And as he came towards his father came running towards him. And as we come near to him, the Father comes near to you and I. Because you know why? The Word of God says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. You see, this Father's door was left open. In other words, if you come from a broken relationship with your family and your children and maybe your parents, pray that God renews the relationship, that God restores the relationship. Pray that if you have been abused as a child, the Bible said, bless them that persecute and despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great is your reward. In other words, forgive them and let go. You know, there's what I call the empty chair plan. The empty chair plan is this. If there's someone that maybe passed away or that are still not in your, that you're able to forgive, I use an empty chair. And that empty chair, as I physically, mentally see that person in the chair, and I ask them, forgive me. And I forgive them, and then I release it. Amen? Then I release it. Sometimes it just takes an action on our part. Amen? See, the adversary so many times comes and torments us with past things. Just like with my daughter, she hates it when I do this. Just like with my daughter and even with my son, there's things I can't do for the past, but again, I can do everything about the present. I can love her as God loves her. I can accept her as God accepts her and agree. I'm never going to agree with everything and every decision they make, but it's not mine to make, right? Amen. Are you with me? So today, in closing today, what is God saying to us just simply? They came to the two sons and the father and the father's love. And God wants to celebrate every man in the house today. He wants to celebrate you and I. He wants you and I to remember to stay approachable, stay associated with your family and with the Father, stay connected, and stay affectionate. Stay loving. You know, sometimes they say, man, I'm too bad to love. Joke. That isn't a real man. You know what a real man does? A real man cries. You hear me? A real man can say, hey, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm longing to be a better father. I'm desiring to be a better husband. I wish I could have been a better son. There's nothing I can do to change that, but I can honor my father I'm honoring my Father today again. I'm honoring Him today. You know what my Father would be doing if me standing here and His Son, He'd be just jumping up and down shouting. God wants to celebrate every man in the house today. He wants to assure you that He has good plans for you. So in the closing moments of the service, since this is about men, I would like for every man in the house, Father, Son, every man in the house, if y'all would just come and gather around the altar here.